didn't tell him very much. He could just about tell when things were blinking or lurking or running around. He tried to get a fix on the hollering, scurrying shapes, and then saw a big, hazy rectangle of light. That was something. He heaved himself round and charged at it. Crash! And also some nasty, rainy, itchy sensations all over his flank. He didn't like that. He stumbled as he barged into a large room and was immediately assaulted by a suffocating splurge of smell, screamy noises, and splashy lights. He charged into a huddle of screaming creatures, which roared and screeched, and then went all cracked and squidgy. One of them got stuck on him, and Desmond had to shake his head to dislodge it. Before him now was another large, glinting rectangle, and a little way beyond it the ground shimmered with a pale blue light. Desmond lunged forward again. There was another crash and another shower of sharp and worrying pain. He hurtled onwards and out into the open air once more. The light in the ground was a strange pool of water, with screaming things in it. He had never seen water glow like that. And then there were some more blinking lights in front of him. He didn't pay any attention to the little lights. He didn't even pay any attention to the banging noises that went with each blink. Bang, bang, so what? But what did catch his attention was the sudden acrid smell and the flowers of pain that started to bloom in his body. A flower was planted in his shoulder, and another. His leg began to move oddly. A flower was planted in his flank, which felt very odd and worrying. Another flower was planted in his head, and gradually the whole world started to become more distant and less important. It began to roar. He felt himself tipping forward with enormous slowness and gradually found himself enveloped in great waves of warm, glowing blueness. As the world ebbed from him, he heard a gabbling, hysterical voice making sounds that made no sense to him, but they sounded like this. Get the paramedics! Get the police! Not just Malibu! Get the LAPD! Now! Tell them to get a helicopter up here! We've got dead and wounded! And tell them... I don't know how they're going to deal with this, but tell them we've got a dead rhinoceros in the swimming pool. Chapter 10. Though it was now embarrassingly clear to Dirk that only he and not his actual quarry was aboard the flight, that he had been thrown 4,000 miles and a couple of thousand crucial pounds off course by a childishly simple ruse, he nevertheless determined to make one final check. He stationed himself right by the exit as everyone started to disembark at Chicago O'Hare Airport. He was waiting so intently that he nearly missed hearing his own name being called over the aircraft's PA, directing him to go to the airline's information desk. "Mr. Gently," said the woman at the desk, brightly. "Yes?"